Station number 12712, Mr. S. Barker, Reel 2.
Mr. S. Barker, Reel 2. Do you recall the names of your NCOs?
Yes, I do. My sergeant was called Sergeant Scott. Then there was Corporal Rigg and Lance Corporal Walsh.
And what were they like?
Well, as trainee instructors, they were very good.
What were the first things they did with you? You're a raw recruit. How did they start with you?
Well, it's rather difficult to explain, but straight away, you're out on parade, standing to attention, learning how to put your left foot forward with your right arm, not as some were doing, with the left arm and the left leg at the same time. Basically, learning to march. And in those first few days, I found it very traumatic compared to my home life, and I found that they were very, very strict disciplinarians, these three NCOs. But however, I did eventually fit in very well.
You said you found it traumatic. In what ways?
Well, the strict disciplinary life compared to what it had been in my own home, which had been quite an easy life for me.
This shocked you?
It did, really, yes.
Was it the manner in which they shouted at you?
Yes, really. That was one of the most outstanding things.
What about the language they were using?
Well, I didn't find this too bad. Very little bad language was used. For all their strictness, there was no bad language.
Did they give you some hints and advice on how to, in effect, march properly and
Yes, I thought they were very good with this.
They How did give you keep you in a straight line?
They would give you demonstrations of how to do how to march, then get several of the squad to copy this until eventually we all gelled in together.
In these early drill times, had you army boots? Had you been issued with your boots?
Yes, we had.
It is difficult to march in a straight line at the very beginning.
It is, yes.
Was there any way in which they showed you that that could be done? Other than demonstrating?
Well, just by them marching, the Lance Corporal in particular, marching along with you and keeping you in line with his cane, say, and that was the only way that I can bring it out.
Was the drill very simple at the beginning?
Yes, the basic drill was really simple in the early stages, yes.
How long would it take? What kind of length had a drill training event?
One spell would be for about 3/4 of an hour. And you'd perhaps go from that on to go on to gymnastics, which was a quick change into the shorts and vest. And you'd do 3/4 of an hour there, and then perhaps change quickly into overalls and do another spell at another drill.
In the drill situation, were you given a rifle to do it with from the very beginning?
No, not in the beginning. This was done with a short cane about 2'6" long. Just to take the place of a rifle, really.
The same drill movements, but with a cane?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The cane was, you say, 2'6" long.
Yeah.
Was there any other distinguishing fact with the cane?
Just that there was a silver ferrule on the end of it, that was all.
That was issued to every man?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And did you keep that for the whole of your army career?
Not for the whole of the army career, no, for the time that we were in the Fenham barracks doing training.
When were you issued with your uniform?
This would be just within the first 2 or 3 days.
And did you parade with it? Did you drill with it?
Mainly with overalls on, a pair of trousers and a jacket. But if some special parades, we would use the uniform. And we'd be taught how to put putties on.
And how were putties put on?
Well, they were put on by starting from the boot top, the ankle, and winding round and round till you got up to the just below the kneecap. And there was a tape on the end of the putty which you fastened round and pushed into the top of the putty.
So one of the tricks would be to get that at the right tension round
the
leg.
Yes, yes.
And did you have any problems with it in the early stages?
Well, in the early stages, yes. It was a case of having to get each fold or each turn above the one below it at a certain depth. Each one the same depth if possible.
Did you like wearing them?
Not really, no. They were holding the circulation in your legs a lot.
You mentioned PE, mm-hmm. or PT, and you said something about 3/4 of an hour thereabouts mm-hmm. you spent yeah. on it. Who was doing this with you?
There were special PT NCOs who had qualified in gymnastics.
And were they good?
They were really good, yes.
Was the standard of PT high?
Yes, I found it very good, yes.
Was there great emphasis on sport and...
Yes,
and
there
PT.
Was. Yes,
and did definitely. Did you get a lot of it there?
Yes, we did. We used to do a lot of running. We used to go over the opposite side of the road from Fenham Barracks, where there was a sports ground, and do a lot of running there. Short distances, long distances. to go out on the town moor and do cross-country runs.
What sports did you play?
I played football, cricket, did a lot of cross-country running.
And was this inter-squad competition?
Inter-squad, yes.
Mm-hmm. And did you compete with the Northumberland Fusiliers at all?
Oh, no.
Were you marched to every position or every particular thing you were
going
to do?
Yes, we were marched from our barrack rooms to... would fall in outside on the ground floor, of course, and would be marched to the dining room, be marched to every unit, say to the gymnasium or to the drill ground.
The dining room, what was it like?
Very, very sparse. Tables, wooden tables, which were kept clean daily.
Who kept those tables clean?
Well, there would be fatigue parties detailed each day to clean them.
The food that you were served up, did you have to queue for it, or was it brought to your table? What was the system?
There was a system of So many people sat at a table, and two men were orderlies would go to the end of the dining room to the cookhouse and pick up enough food for that, we'll call it a mess.
How many men to a table?
Usually 12.
And did the two men change round? Did you all get a turn?
Yes, we all got a turn at going for the food.
And did they give the food out as well?
Yes.
Was it pretty fair?
Oh, yes, very, yes.
What kind of food would you be getting for breakfast?
For breakfast, porridge, perhaps an egg and bacon.
Was the cooking of a good standard?
No, not very high, I would say. Not like home.
You'd have to keep your utensils clean. How did that go on?
Well, you'd carry your mug and knife, fork and spoon to the dining room with you, and as you come out there'd be hot water for you to rinse them in, and then you'd wipe the knife, fork and spoon on a cloth and take them to your barrack room, and if they weren't clean enough there you'd rinse them under a cold water tap and use your own hand towel to clean them up.
If you were well down the line for cleaning your utensils, the water must have got pretty dirty.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What other activities were you doing? You were drilling and doing PT. What other activities were you
doing? Well, there were fatigues. I can't think of anything else at the moment.
At what stage were you given a rifle?
I think that would be about the third week we were there. And then we'd start to do the same drills with the rifle instead of the cane. And also we would come on to do bayonet training with the rifle.
How did you train to use the bayonet?
Well, in your drills you learn how to fix the bayonet to the rifle, and then there would be several wooden frames set up on the edge of the parade ground with sacks with filled with straw fastened to them, and you were told by the instructors how to attack these figures represent a human person, how to force the blade into the sack and pull it out and on and on to the next one all the way, and repeated the same thing.
And there was a drill that you went through for
yes,
that.
Yes.
Did that include screaming or shouting as you?
Yes, you must shout at the top of your voice when you're thrusting into the sack and out, and then on, and it same again. As you thrust at the sack, yell at the top of your voice.
Was there a reason for doing that?
Well, I think it's to instill fear into the person that you're attacking.
Other than attacking the sacks, did you do any bayonet drill between two men?
Oh, no, that was forbidden. I think that would be classed as too dangerous.
Did you do any gas precaution training?
Oh, yes, of course, yes.
What form did that take?
Well, the first thing was learning how to put the mask on. And then you were taken and put into a gas chamber and given a test with a gas, which I wouldn't know what it would be called now, but you'd come out, and by the time you got out, you were choking.
This was taking the mask off in the chamber?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
You'd have to keep your rifle clean. How was that done?
Oh, yes, with what's termed as a pull-through, and you used flannel, which was known as 4x2 because of its measurements, and you'd put a piece of 4x2 onto the rope of the pull-through, and it had a metal end on you. You'd drop that down the barrel of the rifle and pull it through, and that flannel would clean the inside of the bore.
Did you have other parts of the rifle to clean?
Yes, the bolt and the magazine to be kept clean.
And was this regularly re-inspected?
Yes, it would be inspected every time you cleaned them.
And was
every day.
Was this a drill movement, the inspection?
Yes, it was.
What did you have to do? What was the drill for inspection rifles?
Actually, I can't remember the exact words now. I think the exact term was for inspection, port arms.
And what happened then? What did you do with the rifle then?
You'd present the rifle, and when the inspecting NCO came along, you'd put your foot forward and turn the barrel to his eye and place your thumb in front of the bolt, so that when he looked down the barrel, he could see the reflection from your thumbnail, and he could tell whether it was clean or not.
Was it an offence to have a dirty barrel?
It was, yes. Mm-hmm.
Were there any other weapons? What rifle was this, by the way?
This was Lienz. I wouldn't know the mark number, but the 303. Lienz 303.
You would also have to keep your uniforms clean and
yes.
And presentable. Mm-hmm. What kind of things did you do to,
well,
to do this?
We had what a white leather belt with brasses on it, buckles, etc. And the belt had to be blancoed every time it was used. It had to be re-blancoed. The brasses had to be kept sparkling for inspection.
Trousers, what did you do with trousers?
Trousers, well, what we used to do was to fold them and put them on the bed biscuits when we slept at night. That was a way of pressing them to keep the creases in.
Did you have an iron or irons issue to the room?
No, we didn't, no.
Yet you're still expected to have
your
creases.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Boots, how did you get those to sparkle?
Well, there was a crude method of putting blacking polish on the boot and then spitting on it and rubbing your finger with a cloth until you're in circles and you got it to a brilliant shine.
Were there any other, you've mentioned the belt, were there any other additions to the uniform which meant it had to be cleaned?
Yes, for instance, the cap, the badge in the cap had to be clean. There was badges in the epaulette, metal badges, they had to be kept clean. And this was done with, as they were metal, we had a small square of metal rings that we used to rub the metal with till we got them worn down slightly, and then metal polish again to bring up a shine on them.
The badge is the bugle.
Yes.
What were the epaulette badges?
The epaulette badges were bugles as well.
Did you have the regimental initials as well?
The DLI word, letters were in it. The epaulette ones had two things that went through the epaulette, and you had a pin went across the back. The cap badge had just had a straight piece down that fitted into a hole in the top of the cap.
Had you been issued with any other kind of equipment?
Yes, for cleaning materials, etc., yes.
How about webbing? What other webbing equipment did you have?
A pack, haversack, belt, webbing belt with pouches for ammunition, a holder for keeping a water bottle in, and frog for keeping the bayonet in.
Did these entail cleaning?
Yes, these had to be cleaned daily with a khaki type of blanco.
How did you put the blanco on to the equipment?
Well, it was mixed into a paste, and then you brushed it on with a brush, small hand brush.
How often were you cleaning your equipment then?
Daily.
And you'd be inspected again?
Inspected daily, yes.
As you were moving on from those early days, as a raw recruit, where were you going in the training situation? What were you being introduced to?
I don't understand.
We talked about you marching with the cane.
Oh yes.
And then you move on to the rifle.
On to the rifle, yes.
Did that include at some stage firing the rifle?
Oh yes. We're taken to a range and did a course of firing the rifle. Mm-hmm.
Did you do route marches?
Yes.
What kind of distances were you doing?
Well, just normally 3 miles.
When you were at route marching, what were you taking with you?
Full equipment, full pack.
What did your pack hold? What was it meant to hold?
The equipment that we would need, like our razors, eating utensils, mug, blanket.
And your haversack, what was it then supposed to hold?
Well, that was supposed to hold your rations for the day, that.
And the water bottle?
The water bottle was for your water, of course.
Lunchtime, when you came to lunch, about what time of the day would lunch be?
12.
And what kind of food were you getting?
Well, just basic, really, say, sausage, mash, something like that, perhaps beef, and potatoes, onions, just very basic, really.
If you're doing your drilling and PT and so on in the morning, what kind of thing were you doing in the afternoon, after lunch?
I think it was mainly doing for such things as fatigues. You'd be carrying coals to muddy quarters. Things like that.
When did you do your sport?
A lot of that was done in afternoons as well.
Your next break would be some form of tea. What time was that and was it?
Our first break would perhaps be at 10 o'clock in the morning when we'd get a mug of coffee and a hardtack biscuit.
How did you cope with the biscuit?
Well, really, not very well, because they were so hard.
You'd have your 10 o'clock break, then your lunch.
Yeah.
Did you have a break in the afternoon before tea?
Yes.
And was it a similar one?
That was a similar thing, yes.
And tea, what would that comprise of?
Well, it was just a... perhaps tea, perhaps chips and sausage or something like that.
And was that your last meal of the day?
No. We'd perhaps have something in the evening, another cup of cocoa or something. Perhaps with a biscuit again.
And these were in the dining hall?
Yes.
The working day, in the sense of the formal working day, the training, sport, working day, what time would that be finishing?
That you would call your own? Well, perhaps 7 o'clock at night. And even after that, you'd still be cleaning up your shoes and boots, rather, and your equipment. Perhaps going at it until 9 o'clock at night.
This would be done in the barrack block?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Was there a canteen on the camp to supplement your food and
not
diet?
Not that I can remember, no.
Had you been given a medical when you came into the unit?
In the first couple of days, it would be the medical, yes.
You can't remember what form it took?
I can't remember exactly what particular day, but and I can't remember much about it, no. Just a basic medical, that's all.
What were you being paid in the army?
At that particular time, 2 shillings a day.
And did you make an allowance for home?
Not at that particular time, no. Later, when I came along to the battalion, I did.